The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
At this time, I want to officially welcome our podcast audience. I want to welcome our YouTube audience as well. And we welcome you to the End Time Headlines viewpoint segment. Today, I'm going to be dealing with an interesting subject. And when I thought about this subject, I thought about this is kind of the minor league level of end time events or end time signs, I believe, that's unfolding, because it's not up there in the major signs and the major events that we would deem to be major in end time prophecy, such as the earthquakes and the pestilences and the plagues and the wars. But this is something that I believe the prophets have warned us about. I believe the scriptures have warned us about, and even Jesus did in the New Testament gospel. So today, I'm going to be dealing with the subject of how this pandemic is wearing down the mental health of society. There has been many articles that have come out that's really gave a lot of credence to what we're talking about today in today's topic. For example, a new Gallup poll released showed that Americans' latest assessment of their mental health is worse than it has been in any point in the last two decades. 76% of U.S. adults rate their mental health positively, representing a 9-point decline from 2019. Each year since 2001, Gallup has asked Americans as part of its November Health and Healthcare Survey to identify whether or not their own mental or emotional well-being is excellent, good, or only fair or poor. Well, of course, then we had an event that has come through, not just affecting America, but worldwide and global, and that is the coronavirus pandemic. And since that, we've seen a huge dramatic downfall of the mental health of not just Americans, but even outside of America. And there's all these stories, guys. It's giving, again, like I said, more and more credence to the fact that we are seeing the mental health of many, at least here in America. And I know this is outside of America, but you'll hear me as an American myself. I'm constantly dealing with American subjects because I'm only limited to what information and what sources I can get outside of America. But for example, here's one outside of America. The Daily Mail, which is a UK affiliate, reported that a financial advisor recently drowned himself, took his own life after the coronavirus lockdown destroyed his business of 30 years. And he left a heartbreaking note to his family saying that, quote, COVID-19 got me. Nick Gunnell was described as a, quote, hidden victim of the virus after he killed himself in the river in the river Ouse in York. In an inquest at the old courtroom in North Allerton was told, the 55-year-old left a note for loved ones on June 30th expressed in his regret and apologizing. Without saying what he planned to do, assistant coroner John Broadbridge said, quote, the coronavirus lockdown had caused his financial advice business problems, and he had been suffering from anxiety and sleeping problems, the coroner reported in the evidence. A father to a grown-up daughter and stepdaughter, he was last seen on closed caption television going down to the riverside by Scarborough Bridge near York City Center shortly after 1 p.m. on June the 30th. After six-day police and public search, a local who was kayaking found his body in the river 150 meters upstream from the bridge. A post-mortem concluded Mr. Gunnell from Holgate Road, York, had drowned, and Mr. Broadbridge recorded a finding of suicide. The inquest heard that before coronavirus, Mr. Gunnell had told his wife, Jane, that 2020 was going to be, quote, their year, and he was preparing to sell his business, and they were planning a tour of the Greek islands. So again, Before we're quick to judge this guy and say, well, this is a guy that's weak-minded, or he just didn't have enough strength, or he didn't have enough courage, or he didn't have the mental capacity. Again, everybody's different. There's people I talk to that can handle things that I can, and there's things that they can handle that I couldn't imagine handling. So we just got to keep this in mind. And I believe as this thing drags out and it becomes more draconian and measures and lockdowns and restrictions and shutting down this and shutting down that, I believe we're going to see more and more cases like this. For example, FaithWire reported that an elementary school student from Woodbridge, California, recently took his own life recently during an online Zoom class where deputies with the local California town there confirmed the 11-year-old boy died by suicide. According to, again, a local affiliate, authority said the boy was logged into a Zoom video class when he turned off the microphone and camera and shot himself. This is horrifying. The boy's sister, who was distance learning in another room, found her brother and told a neighbor and her teacher, who helped her call the police. When law enforcement officers arrived at their house shortly after 11 a.m., they found a boy with a gunshot wound to his head. He was then taken to a hospital with his parents. He later died from his injuries. Quote, "We are deeply saddened to report that based on the preliminary findings, an 11-year-old student," guys, this breaks my heart. I have a 12-year-old. I can't fathom this. "From Woodbridge Elementary School has passed away due to injuries from a self-inflicted gunshot wound." Again, a licensed clinical counselor who works with children told KOVR-TV that this latest incident highlights, quote, "It's really time as a society that we start investing in well-being and mental health." So again, I believe we're going to see more and more and more of this. In fact, this was a stunning headline. Fortune, listen to this headline. Fortune-telling businesses are booming during pandemic as people are searching for hope. According to CBS Dallas-Fort Worth, many businesses have been closing due to the COVID pandemic, but fortune tellers appear to be doing quite well. So why are more and more people turning to psychics during this health crisis? Quote, "In a world of uncertainties, people are looking for predictability. I like to say they're looking for hope. They're looking for something that can bring them happiness, resolve, and strength. Encouraged to get through." Quote, "With the COVID and everything, I was stuck in a bubble," one McKinney resident said. Quote, "She finds that predictability at Soultopia, and she's not the only one who's looking for assurance. The New York Times recently highlighted increased online traffic for horoscope and psychic consultations. Astrologers and tarot card readers have also reported an increased demand in their services." Quote, "Since the pandemic, it's just been an explosive amount of people coming in our stores and also through Zoom and online and also on the phone. Michelle Welch said." Welch said her business has gone up over 70% since the beginning of the pandemic. So what's going on? People are looking for hope. They're looking for faith. They're looking for assurance. They're looking for well-being. They're looking for stability and predictability. They're looking for, I'm going to say it like this. You can get mad at me if you want, but just let me explain myself, and I believe you'll agree with me here. But people are looking for God in all the wrong places. I like to say it like this. They're making a phone call to connect with God, but they've got the wrong phone number. So instead, they're contacting counterfeit sources. They're contacting tarot card readers. They're contacting psychics. They're contacting horoscopes. My goodness, why in the world would we look to the stars for answers to our everyday life when we can look to the one who created the stars to begin with. Now, I want to make a point here because we had a lot of people, because I just did a segment on signs in the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars here on our Facebook Live and our podcast and whatnot. And then I recently did a broadcast with my good friend Jason Armstrong, and we talked about signs in the heavens. And one of the things that people were quick to shotgun out there was, this is not of God, and astrology is not of God. Well, you know what? You're right. Astrology, which is the worship of the constellations and trying to get predictions and trying to guide and trying to navigate your life based on what constellation that you follow. Are you Taurus? Are you Capricorn? That is wrong, and that is prohibited, and that is completely God is totally against that. But we're not talking about when Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, he's not talking about your horoscope there. He's not talking about astrology. He's talking about astronomy. There's a difference. Again, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the constellations and the stars and all these things. But these folks are looking for their future. These are no different than these people that go to a Chinese restaurant and they get the fortune cookie and they get their fortune. And I know, look, we can open up the cookie and we can tear it apart and we can open it and we can have a good time saying, oh, look, it's predicting this, it's predicting that. And some of these things are not inherently bad, but you can't take this to the bank. You can't. Listen, I don't go to a Chinese restaurant, or I don't get online and look at my horoscope or whatever to see what that holds for my future. I have the almighty word of God. Come on, you want predictability? You want a word that's going to give you hope and give you strength? How about Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12? For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, and they're thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope and to give you an expected end. Therefore, you shall call unto me and I shall answer you. You shall cry out unto me with all your heart and seek me with all of your heart, and I shall be found by you. How about Romans 8:28 right now in the midst of all this? Romans 8:28, for we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So this is sad, guys. Again, but this gives more reason for you and I as brothers and sisters and Christians, disciples, followers of Christ, salt of the earth, the light of the, we are the light, ye are the light of the world. We're to be a lamp, not under a bushel, but set. We're to be a city set upon a hill. We're to let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father, which is in heaven. Do you know what the indictment here is? This, that so we're seeing right now with depression, oppression, anxiety, fear, worry, uncertainty, people are looking for hope. They're looking for answers. People are giving up on hope. People are giving up. So this is more reason for us to get out here and be the church that God has called us to be in this hour. Come on, I know I can hear a loud, resounding amen from somebody behind that camera today. This is amazing. So that was the first half of this segment. Now I'm going to show you, you say, well, how does this go into the end times? What's the prophetic viewpoint of this? And how is this relating to the times of the end? Well, let me give you some scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 9. 2 Peter, again, you guys on YouTube, we've got, you know, images and illustrations and scriptures and all that. You guys on Facebook, I'm sorry, you'll just have to listen and bear with us. Get your Bible out and follow us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 9. Listen to this. Peter wrote, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Now listen to this, verse 7, and delivered just Lot. That doesn't mean he just delivered Lot. It means he was just, as in righteous, uprighteousness. He was standing upright before the Lord. And he delivered just Lot. Some translations say, and delivered righteous Lot. Here's what it says, though. In the King James, it says, vexed. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the unlawful deeds in which he both saw and heard. Now, before I get to verse 9, which is very encouraging, I want to tell you something here. This word vexed, somebody say vexed. This word vexed here means to harass, to torture, or to distress. So Lot was a righteous man that lived in an ungodly environment filled with unlawful deeds, which consisted of all forms of wickedness, debauchery, all forms of sexual abominations, abundance of idleness, fullness of bread, lack of apathy for the poor and needy. By the way, those are all the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can find those in the book of Ezekiel. The Bible also indicates that he was tormented by the filthy conversation day in and day out of the wicked. The Bible indicates that there was two ways he was being vexed. He was being vexed by what his eyes saw and what his ears heard. So let me kind of recap this for a second. So notice, here is a righteous man in a dark world, in a ungodly environment, a environment that's filled with no hope, filled with darkness, filled with uncertainty and fear and anxiety and unbelief. Come on, is anybody there right now? And day in and day out, I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm going to use modern vernacular or modern illustration to try to bring home my point here. It would be as if every day you turn on your television, you turn on the news to try to get some hope, try to get some encouragement, but yet it's always negative. It's always fear. It's gloom. It's doom. It's despair. It's destruction. It's uncertainty. It's fear. It's anxiety. It's worry. And it's just like it's a heaviness, and it's weighing down on you day in and day out. That's the picture I'm trying to give you of vexation. Lot was vexed day in and day out by what he heard and what he saw. Now let's talk about this for a second. So think about it. For almost a year now, every single day, you go to your work, you go to the store, you turn on the television, you get around your family, you get around your friends, and somehow, some way, it's going to be brought up in conversation, or it's going to be seen. You go to the store, there's people with masks on. You turn on the television, it's going to be talked about, it's going to be seen, and we're talking about the coronavirus. Vexing us day in, day out, every day. Something about coronavirus, the numbers. I mean, you can't even turn on the news without a chart up on the top of the screen showing how many people has died, how many people's infected, how many people's been impacted. Come on, somebody. So what's that doing to you? It's vexing you. It's weighing you down. But listen, verse 9 says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust into the day of judgment to be punished. I want you to put, we're going to put a stake right there, put a bookmark right there, and we're going to go back up and jump back up to that, because I'm going to move on here and show you some other stuff. In Matthew 24, even Jesus said, again, we're talking about the minor league events of the end times. Today, we're not talking about the wars. We're not talking about the pestilence. We're not talking about the plagues. We're not talking about the desolations and nation against nation. Those are the big major league signs of the end times, right? Today, I want to home in on what we're talking about today. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, there are also in the last days, there will be many that will be offended. There'll be betrayal. People will begin to hate one another, even in your own family. Iniquity will shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. Now I'm going to tell you what offense, betrayal, hate, iniquity, and the love of many waxing cold. I want to tell you, you ready for this? All five of these have something in common. Ready? If the enemy can cause events and circumstances around you to weigh you down and vex you to a point where you no longer care, you just throw in the towel. Have you ever been there before? Where you can be in so much pain physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, financially, marital pain, whatever the case may be. You get to a point where you become numb. You don't even feel it anymore. It's like you're going through the motions. You're going through life. You're getting in your car. You're going through your routines. You get up, take your shower, get ready for work. You drive to work, but you're going there. You're doing it. You're clocking in. You're going through the motions, but yet you've almost become numb. You don't feel anything anymore. It's almost like you haven't shed a tear in a long time. Your heart's not been broken anymore. And now you carry this over to the house of worship. You get into the house of God and you used to cry. You used to shed a tear over worship songs. You used to get excited about the word of God. All of a sudden, you find yourself calloused. You find yourself cold. You find yourself hard-hardened. Why? Because of the cares of life. Because of the trouble. Because of the vexation has weighed you down. And this is what's leading to all this. Why do you think murders are on the rise? Burglaries are on the rise. All these things, we could sit here and talk about this for a long time, but I got to move on to get to the point here. In Mark 13, he says, brother will even betray brother to death. Father will betray son. Children to rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Now, we read about this in the time of Nazi Germany, but listen, even with this plague that's taking place, you've got people in authority that are encouraging people to snitch on each other, snitch on your neighbor, snitch on people. Have you ever read this in Mark 13 and think, my goodness, how can we ever get to a point where brother would betray brother and parents would betray children and children betray parents? Well, hello, we're knocking on the door of this. And listen, it says, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I want you again, put another bookmark there. Put another stake there. All this is going to all play into when I close this segment out today. Even Jesus said in Luke 21:9, in your patience possesses your souls. Somebody say patience. That's a very bad word. I don't like that word. I asked the Lord one time in 20 years of serving the Lord. I asked the Lord one time to give me patience. And my friend, I learned a lesson real quick and I will never pray that again and ask that. I learned a very valuable lesson not to ask about patience. Because you ask for patience, he's going to make sure you go through that lesson. And I'm going to tell you, the school colors of that classroom are black and blue. And you're going to come out on the other end and you're going to know how you graduated with the diploma of patience. Trust me. Take my word for it. 2 Timothy 3:1-5, Paul said, know this, that in the last days, somebody say last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous here in the Greek is kalipos. And it means, listen to this, is powerful. It means hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, and fierce, and savage. Tell me that doesn't depict where we are in today's society in our times that we're in right now. And now I've preached on this probably a dozen times. I'm not going to go into great detail on this, but I am going to pull something out of this. when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says he went a stone's throw away from Peter, James, and John, and he began to pray and he began to intercede. And what he was really doing was, the Bible says he was taking on himself the sins of the world. He was in great agony. And remember, he had this conversation with the Father, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And the Bible says he began to sweat great drops of blood. He began to travail and intercede to the point where he was physically bearing the load of that. Okay, but there was a situation that happened in this story that's very interesting, and I credit the Holy Spirit for giving me this revelation, because I've never heard anybody else preach on this except for myself. But it says in verse 45 of Luke 22, that's Luke 22, 45, so you can look it up in your own time. It says, "When he rose from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" Now he says he found them sleeping from sorrow. So there was a consequence of why they were sleeping. They weren't sleeping because they stayed up the night before too long, or they were just tired, or they needed a nap, or they ate too much fish and bread and they had a full stomach and they needed a nap. No. The evident cause here, and he tells you in scripture, is sorrow. Well, what's this mean? The word sorrow here in Greek means pain, grief, annoyance, affliction, and mourning. Whew. So again, what I'm trying to tell you guys is what the disciples went through. Remember, let's just take a little recap road of their journey, if you don't mind. Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen by trade. They gave up everything they had. They gave up their business. They gave up the lifestyle they were used to. They were walking by faith. They were, no doubt, they lost a lot of friends. They were ridiculed. They gave up their risked their reputation. They risked their business. They risked their livelihood. They left everything they went through. And not only that, but now they had put targets on their heads and on their backs, because now they were disciples of Jesus. And the Bible says, if the master of the house suffers persecution, how much more will those of the household and or the students? So you got to keep in mind, this was the pressure they were dealing with. They were being persecuted. They were being pressured. They were being afflicted. They were being there was all this coming against them. So again, let's pull all this picture back together. When you are in a great trial, whether it's an affliction, an infirmity, your finances, your marriage, your health, your children, the world's economy, this pandemic, when you put a culmination of all these things, it becomes a toxic cocktail for our mental health capacity. There's people that are probably watching this program, listening to this program, whatever the case may be. You may be one of the many that are laid off, don't have a job. You lost your business. You don't know what you're going to do. You're relying on government assistance. And you understand what this is. Listen, oh man, I could go so much. The main symptoms of depression and worry are evident in sleep disturbances, restlessness, fatigue, loss of energy, the feeling of guilt and worthlessness, loss of concentration, reoccurring thought of death and suicidal ideation. And listen, one of the number one symptoms of depression in people, if you know, is they have no get up and go or motivation to get out of bed. Why? Because they don't feel like they have a hope. They don't feel like they have a purpose. So the enemy has convinced them that there is no hope, there is no faith, there is no worth, and to just stay in bed, bury your head in the sand, cover yourself up. And again, so let's go back. They were found sleeping from sorrow. Whew. Now, I want to show you in scripture, and then we're going to close this podcast today. I believe that what we're seeing right now with the mental health status or state of being that we're seeing, I believe it's only going to intensify. And you say, oh, well, that's not very good news. Guys, listen, we're going to end this with hope. We're going to end this with a redemptive hope. But I got to get you there. According to the Bible, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, I want to read to you, this is not the King James, this is a different translation, but I want to read to you how this words this, and listen to me carefully. Daniel 7, 25, and it's speaking of the Antichrist who will come to power in the last days. And by the way, I believe everything is setting the stage for that. Listen, it's Daniel 7, 25. It says, he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. Let me say it again. He shall wear out. Some translations say he will wear down the saints of the Most High. That phrase wear out or wear down in Hebrew means to wear away, wear out, or a consistent harassment. So if I was to give you a typology or a picture, an illustration, whatever you want to call it here, it would be as a river that cuts through a rock, not because of its great power, but because of its great persistence. Let me say that again. A river can cut through rocks. You could put a large boulder in the middle of a rapid waters. And the water is not going to have the force to cut through the rock. However, the longer the rock stays in the flow, are you listening? It is not the power that's going to penetrate the rock, but it's going to be the persistence over time. See, if this pandemic only lasted for 3 months and hit hard and went and fade out, then this wouldn't be a discussion right now. But the fact that it's went 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, the fact that we went on lockdowns, shutdowns, restrictions, can't do this, can't do that, can't go here, can't go there, do this, do that, do this, do that. We went through all that in the spring, right? And so we recovered from that, and there was a reprieve in the summer months, and people's mental health began to recover. It was like a recovery of breath. And by the way, that's where we get the word revival. The word revive means to recover the breath. So there was a revival of our mental health in the summer months, but then the warnings begin to come forth. There's going to be a dark winter. There's going to be a second wave. There's going to come all this. So a lot of people didn't prepare themselves mentally for this. So now it's come back with a vengeance. This thing has grown teeth. And now we're seeing more jobs lost, more lockdowns, more restrictions. And now to stoke the fire, really to put gas on the fire, now we have the vaccines that's going out, and there's all kinds of people that are uneasy. They're up, they're on edge about that. So we've got a concoction out here, guys, of anxiety, worry, uncertainty, and fear. Can you see this? And as a result of that, it's cause vexation, vexing. It's vexing society by what they hear and what they see. Let me say it like this. Satan was stripped of his power at the cross, but he is persistent and he is patient. He is persistent in his methodologies and his assignments against us, and he knows our weaknesses and looks to capitalize on certain seasons in our lives. I'm just talking about spiritual warfare here, 101. He waits until we are vulnerable, and many times we'll wait until after a recent attack has already taken place, or perhaps a recent tragedy happened, a layoff, an accident, again, a marital fight, etc. It's like a building built with bricks, one brick at a time, one attack at a time. Now, this is why Jesus warned over and over again in the Word. He says in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, what's he say? He says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. That word endure comes from the root word preserve. Or I'm sorry, not preserve, persevere. Let me correct myself again. The word endure here means to persevere. Patience, meaning steadfast and to be sustained. In Luke 18, there's a parable of an unjust judge and a widow woman. The Bible said that she couldn't get victory against her adversary. And the Bible says she continually went before him day and night. And Jesus and the Lord said, look at this story. And he says in Luke 18, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. The unjust judge said, yet. He said this, he said, though I don't fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her by lest her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord says, hear what this unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out night and day? Though he bears long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So that tells me again, there's only going to be a remnant, guys, that are going to be pursuing persistence, persevering, being steadfast, sustaining, moving forward. So you say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, the good news is this. This is not all on our shoulders, guys. Come on, it's not all on us. We do have a part to play, but it's not all on us. Come on, somebody needs to get happy about that right there, because I'm going to go back up to 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter said, the Lord, talking about Lot being vexed in a dark environment, it says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to, come on, reserve the unjust until the day of judgment and be punished. Here's the good news I've got for you. Here, so you say, what do? We continue doing what we're doing. We continue to seek the Lord. We continue to pray. We continue to fast. We continue to intercede. We continue to get into the house of God. You say, well, I can't get into the house of God when the doors are locked. It's barred. We're restricted. We can't get in indoor gatherings. Okay, then get online. Get in a small group. Get in a cell group. Get in a house church. And where there are two or more gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. Get in the word. Get in books. Get in, listen to CDs, listen to you, whatever it takes to keep, come on, to keep the fire burning, to keep the junk out of your head. When you feel that junk coming on you, come on, you need to put on some praise music. You need to put on some worship music and go into some deep places in the Lord. Go into some deep places in God. Go into some deep places in prayer and some deep places in intercession. Get, again, you got to fill your mind and your heart. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Come on. By the renewing of our minds, come on, through the washing of the word, that we may prove that which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about, I know it's not a really a profound answer to this, but you'd be surprised. Listen, the enemy can get you to a place where he wears you down so much you don't want to get into the word. You don't want to get into prayer. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to intercede. You don't want to fast. You don't want to do any of this. You just want to, come on. I just want to tell somebody today, if you're watching by YouTube or Facebook, it's time to get out of bed. Kick off the covers. Come on, kick off the depression. Kick off the vexation. Kick off the oppressiveness. Kick off the darkness. Shut off the television. Shut off the internet. Whatever you got to do, it's time we break the chains of darkness off of us. Break the chains of vexation off of us. Go and get again. Go and turn on some worship music. Go and turn on some anointed prayer music, praise music. Get into a word. Get in, turn on a YouTube channel that encourages you, equips you, whatever the case may be. Listen, if it's not me, it's somebody else. It don't matter to me. I'm not about competition. I'm not about competing with other ministers. All I want, listen, I know what God's called me to do. And God's called me to be a mouthpiece in this generation to equip, to edify, and to encourage, and to inform a generation of the times and seasons which we're in. And I'm telling you, right now, as I speak, we are in a dark time, and it's wearing down people's mental health, and we're losing people to depression. We're losing them to suicide. We're losing them to overdoses and all kinds of things. And I'm telling you, as a church, we've got to rise up in prayer, rise up in intercession, and rise up in our witness. Come on, there's some people. I believe there's people that are watching this by YouTube, by Facebook, and listening by podcast. And you know there's people in your circle, in your proximity of influence that you have in your own personal life. There's people that God has spoken to you over and over again. Whether it's that person at work, whether it's that person in your family, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's somebody at a Walmart or somebody here or there, God has spoken to you and he said, I want you to witness to them. I want you to love on them. I want you to just to talk about me. Write them a letter. Share them something. Give them something for Christmas. Pay them a visit. Give them a phone call. Whatever it is. Listen, guys, I'm telling you, one word. You never know. You could call somebody and give them one word from the Lord and it break off depression and it break off suicide and it break off oppressiveness. Come on, I don't know who that was for, but I believe that was for somebody listening today. Come on, do you receive this word today? Again, I want to thank you guys for jumping on. Let me pray for you guys real quick. I just got to check them. I was going to close this out, but I feel like the Holy Spirit's checking me to pray because I believe there's some people here that fits this bill, that fits this criteria. So we're going to pray for you right now. And then I want you to stand by and stick around because we got some information, important information we want to give you about our ministry and where we're going, et cetera. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual here watching by Facebook Live, watching by YouTube or listening by podcasts or however they may be hearing this or watching this. Lord, if they fall into this criteria, if they have been, if they feel like they have been cradled to sleep by the world, cradled to sleep by trouble and grief and sorrow and vexation, and their mental health is slipping away. They don't feel like they have much hope, and they've even been turning over and they've been turning to other sources for hope and encouragement that they know by the checking of the Holy Spirit that this is wrong. Lord, maybe they've been going to soothsayers. Maybe they've been going to fortune tellers. Maybe they've been going to tarot card readers. And Lord, you're saying, stop it. Today it stops. Today you get into the Word. Today you hear the Holy Spirit. Today you get into church. Today you get in me. Today you're born again. Today you'll give your heart to me. This is what I feel like the Lord is saying right now. So if that's you right now, I want to give you the opportunity to right where you're at. I don't really like doing this, you know, whole repeat this after me thing, because I really want it to come from your own heart. So where you're at right now, I don't care if it's in your living room, your kitchen, just stop for just a second. And I want you to just close your eyes if you can. And basically what I'm trying to say is just, I want you to concentrate on the Lord. And right where you're at, I want you to repent and turn to him, renounce the darkness, renounce those thoughts. If there's thoughts that are coming against your mind to tell you to think, to do things that are contrary to the scripture, where are those coming from? That's not God. Begin to renounce those things and begin to declare what the word of God says over your life. and begin to take heed to that and walk in that in Jesus' name. And watch the chains begin to break off of you. Watch the discouragement begin to break off of you. Watch the depression and the anxiety begin to lift off of you in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray for them right now that you would give them the strength and the courage through the Holy Spirit to do that today. God, I ask that you would lead them to a great Bible believing spirit filled church. And if there's not one that they can go to, or there's not one that they can attend, I pray that our ministry helps them and that it equips them and encourages them and informs them. And it blesses them to do what they needed to do, to be equipped to do what they need to do, to fulfill what you've called them to fulfill. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, guys, endtimeheadlines.org. Again, right now, I want you to, if you're on this, right when you get off this broadcast, just go to your search bar and type in www.endtimeheadlines.org. When you do that, it's going to bring up our website. I want you to bookmark it, subscribe to that, and you're going to get a daily digest in your inbox every single day to keep up with our ministry. If you've not downloaded our app yet, I want you to do that. It is absolutely free, and it is available on Apple and Android devices. Again, that's our official ETH app. You can do that by typing in End Time Headlines to get that. As always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to sow into this ministry. You can partner with us. You can give a one-time gift, whatever the case may be. And you can do that, again, as well by visiting our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, or going to our app right there on your, in your hand, going down to the bottom, clicking on that. You can give electronically, or you can give by the mailing address right there on your screen if you're watching this by YouTube. Again, if you're watching by Facebook Live, or if you're listening by podcast, just go to our main website. All that information is going to be there for your convenience to help you do that. And again, we thank you and we appreciate your support to help us to remain strong in 2020 and beyond, and continuing to occupy until he comes. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We are going to take off tomorrow, which will be Thursday, and we plan on to be back on here on Friday to close out the week with another encouraging word or viewpoint segment or whatever we have on deck. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.